The following broadcast is brought to you by Sons of God International and Freedom Fellowship Church. Hello, and welcome to the prophetic voice of our time, where we focus on the voice of prophecy, which is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Our host, Christina Sasso, is a senior pastor at Freedom Fellowship Church. Let's hear what she has to say to the body of Christ.
Hello, thank you for tuning in. My name is Joshua Sasso, and you are listening to the prophetic voice of our time. As we begin today, I want to open up with Mark chapter 16. It says in verse 15, Jesus said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes in their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not harm them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well." After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere. And the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by signs that accompanied it. This is what we, the church, are supposed to do. We're supposed to go into all the world, and we're supposed to show them the ways of God, and signs and wonders will accompany us. That's what Jesus said here, that these signs will accompany those who believe. They're going to cast out demons. They're going to lay hands on the sick and they're going to recover. They're going to speak in new tongues. The supernatural is supposed to follow the church. That's the truth. But there's two things I want to address here. So one, we are supposed to operate in the supernatural. Jesus said here, the signs will follow us that believe. And you might ask, well, why then are there no signs in the church? Where are the miracles? Where is the supernatural? Something we have to understand about Jesus is that, and he said this, that he was busy about the Father's business, right? So what this means is that he didn't have his own plan, his own agenda that he mapped out for himself. It was God's plan, God's agenda, okay? And so to walk like Jesus, that means we have to be busy about the Father's business. We go where the Father sends us. We do the things that the Father leads us to do. And we say the things that the Father tells us to say. And this is actually very different than many Christians live their lives, where they will plan out their life path. They'll plan out their career. They'll plan out who they're going to marry, where they're going to live, all of these things. And then they'll pray to God and ask God, "God, bless this. Bless this thing that I've planned for myself." Right? But that's not being led by the Spirit of God. Instead, we're leading ourselves and then we're asking God to bless us. And sometimes we feel entitled even to that blessing. "Well, I'm a child of God." Yes, but are you walking according to the leading of the Holy Spirit? And I want you to remember this as well, too, that so when we make a plan for ourselves, right, where we map out our life trajectory, we get all of the things that we want to prioritize, okay, we are now crafting for ourselves a set of priorities by our own hands. Okay. And in the Old Testament, the Israelites, they often worshiped idols, right? And these were gods made with human hands because God exists independently of mankind, right? He's always existed throughout all of eternity. He doesn't rely on us, right? And when we make gods with our own hands, it's things that we decide what it should look like, what it should feel like. Okay. When we craft for ourselves our own set of priorities that do not involve God, is that not the same kind of attitude as building an idol with your own hands? Because here you are, you're making your own ambitions, your own plans, and you're putting them at a higher level of priority than God's plan for your life. So that's pride, and that's even idolatry. Anything that we put above God is idolatry, right? So obviously, signs and wonders are not going to follow us if we're living our lives as we please, and then we're asking God to bless it, right? So that's one thing. The other thing, too, is that we have to understand, Jesus told his disciples, go into all the world, all of the world, okay? This means that we actually go out of our church services and our church buildings, the four walls of our church, and we're going into every industry, every sector of society, every nation. And this is something that we've been learning here at Freedom Fellowship Church, which is that the nations that God's sending us to, it's not just political entities like the United States of America. He's sending us to every sector of society. Because a nation is any group of people that share a common history and culture or language. Okay? That means that the arts and the entertainment, that is a nation that God wants to send his church to. Science and technology, education, these are all nations that we, the church, need to begin being the light. God is sending us there, and he wants us to go there with signs and wonders following us. Now, what I want you to recognize here is that when Jesus sent the disciples out, the commission was focused on, you are going to go out and you're going to help establish the kingdom of God, right? So as Christians, when we become saved, that is not the end of our journey. God saves you. He transforms you. You're born again, right? You made a completely new person. But your journey doesn't end there. It actually begins there. And now you're supposed to take the light that God ignited in you, and now you're supposed to spread it around wherever you go. It's like the parable of the sower. Once the seed landed on good ground, what happened? It reproduced and multiplied and returned 100-fold, okay? And that's what it's supposed to be like for you, okay? Being a Christian is not just being born again and then being blessed. We actually have to shift our mindset into people that will invest in the kingdom of God, that will sow seeds into others, that will be a blessing to others. And brothers and sisters, let me tell you, this is one of the reasons why signs and wonders have been lacking in the church. Because think about the majority of prayer time, how it's spent. Think of what the majority of the prayer time, what its focus is on. Most of it is focused on what I want, what I need, what I've been believing for, right? It's that I want to be blessed. And the majority of Christians have this mindset where they want to be blessed. And so much of their focus is on believing that they're going to be blessed and that God is going to bless them and all of these things. But how much time, how much effort, how much of your prayer life is dedicated towards being a blessing to others? Remember, Jesus said, right, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, and all of these things. They'll all be added to you. Just seek ye first the kingdom of God, right? I'm not saying that God is not going to bless you. I'm saying that we as the church have had the focus on the blessing rather than the commission that Jesus gave us to do. Let me read this scripture here. So this is in Genesis chapter 8. We're going all the way back to Genesis. And this is God speaking. God says, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. Okay, so this concept of sowing seeds and reaping seeds is going to never cease so long as the earth endures, right? So is the earth still around? Yeah, we're still on the earth, right? Okay, now my question for you is this. If the majority of your time is dedicated towards wanting to be blessed and asking to be blessed and praying to be blessed, how much time have you actually spent in sowing seeds to be blessings for others? And the majority of Christians, the truth is, not a lot. And so if God said, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest is going to continue, a lot of Christians want to reap a harvest. But have they been sowing seeds? Have they been investing in the kingdom of God? Have they been a blessing to others? Right? And By the way, I'm not just talking about money here, right? We're not talking about money, okay? Everywhere we go, you should be a blessing to others. When you are at work, you should be a light in your workplace. When you're with your family, when you're with your friends, you should be a light wherever you go. So much so that people get transformed because the Spirit of God is moving through you. And this should be the case everywhere we go, right? Not just in our church services. Everywhere God sends us, we should be a blessing to others. And this is a mental shift that has to happen in the church, where we're getting out of, I want to be blessed, and instead we start thinking, I want to be a blessing. And the reason why this is so important is because God wants to elevate Christians from the north, south, east, and west into positions of influence. He wants to raise up people in the political arena, in education, science, technology, healthcare, media and entertainment, all of these arenas. He wants to raise up people in his church to have dominion over those nations. But if we get into those positions of influence and we still have this same mindset, I want to be blessed. I want to be prosperous. I want people to take care of me, right? Pray for me, cover me so that I'll be blessed, right? If we have this mindset, we have a taker's mindset, right? We just want to receive. We want to receive. How will you be productive for the kingdom of God in those positions of influence and immense resources if you have a receiver's mindset, right? But if where we are right now, if you have the mindset of a servant, somebody who's going to invest in others and in the kingdom of God, then what happens is that when you get to those positions of influence, you will see it as opportunity to be a blessing for others, a blessing for the world. And this is something that God wants to stir up in his church. So you got to flip that switch in your brain and start thinking about, how can I be a blessing to others, right? Just like in the world, they understand investments. You got to put money in so that the money can work and do these things. In the kingdom of God, you have to sow seeds, good seeds, if you're going to reap any kind of harvest, right? Here we are. We're waiting for the harvest. We're thanking God, God, the harvest is here. And yet, so many have not been sowing seeds in the kingdom of God. They want other people to pray for them. They want other people to fast for them. They want other people to sacrifice and do the work on behalf of them. And this is a sign of immaturity in the kingdom of God. And this is what God wants to change. Because think of it like this, guys. A baby has no concept of responsibility. Instead, all the baby understands is, I'm hungry, I'm tired, I have to go to the bathroom, right? And so all the baby can do is cry, I need this, I want this, give me this, right? And let's face it, we don't expect a baby to do anything different, right? Right? It's really the job of the parents to make sure that the baby is taken care of, right? But part of maturing is eventually you get out of yourself where it's not just about your wants, your needs, your desires. You have to start looking to people around you. And really, that's part of the reason why many people, when they become parents, are forced to mature. Because now you have this helpless infant that can't take care of themselves. And when they're crying, now you're awake and you're having to take care of them. When they're hungry, now you're scrambling to make sure, right? Now suddenly your life is structured around somebody that's not yourself, and it forces you to mature, okay? But in the church, again, we expect infants to have this mindset because they don't know any better, okay? But as children mature, part of the maturing process is teaching them how to take on responsibility, teaching them how to get outside of just their own desires, their own needs, and start being concerned about those around them. Okay. Now, unfortunately, in the church, we have a lot of spiritual infants where it's always about them, always about their desires and their wants. And all of their prayer life, all of their effort is focused around those things. Now, when you're a baby Christian, that's to be expected. In fact, when you've just been born again, God's going to shower you with love. He's going to talk about how he's going to bless you and how he loves you and all of these things, and he's going to build you up, right? But part of maturing means eventually you get out of yourself. And yet we have Christians that have been born again for 20, 30 years, and yet they're still spiritually infants. Something that happens when you mature spiritually is your quiet time with Jesus, it actually starts to become less and less about you. Suddenly, Jesus might wake you up and say, you need to intercede on behalf of this nation. You need to go and prophesy concerning this thing. This person needs your prayer cover right now, right? Where the Holy Spirit starts directing you to investing in other people's lives, establishing the kingdom of God in other situations, being a light in other areas, right? And you start getting out of yourself and God's showing you how to be a king, how to be an ambassador for Christ. And we, the church, need to begin training people in this manner. And really, all of us individually as Christians, we have to mature so that God can entrust us with the nations. The Apostle Paul writes about how, you know, even though the son, the heir of the estate, he may own the entire estate, but so long as he is not mature, he is no different than a servant, right? Because he doesn't have the authority, he doesn't have the power until the heir matures. He cannot receive his inheritance. So if the church has been waiting for the manifestation of all of these things that God wants to do, but if we, the church, are not yet mature, we won't be able to take a hold of it. That means in order to mature, you've got to get outside of yourself. And let me tell you this, by the way, guys. God is going to take care of your needs, and he knows your desires. He knows even those things that we hold deeply, intimately in our heart. He knows about them. And you know what? He loves us even more than we love ourselves. And I'm going to be honest, you know, some of us love ourselves quite a bit, but God loves us even more. He loves us so much that he was willing to send his one and only son to die for us. So concerning our wants, concerning our needs, we can give that to God. We can surrender it to him. And he is so loving. He is so trustworthy. He can't even help himself. He cannot help himself but to bless those that have been faithful to him. Just like God blessed Abraham, just like he blessed Solomon and David and all of these people that decided to follow and obey God, he blessed them. Just as Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. All these other things, they'll be given to you as well. But we shouldn't be focusing on pursuing the blessing where all of our headspace and our effort and time is focused on, I want this thing. When am I going to have my calling established? When are people going to recognize me? Right? And by the way, that is also the mindset of somebody who is immature. When are they going to recognize me? When are they going to look at me? Look at me, look at me. Right? Those that are ready for leadership, it'll be like Joshua when the Israelites entered the promised land. It says that, and in that day, the Lord established Joshua in sight of all of Israel, right? Who established him as leader? It was God Almighty. And meanwhile, in the church, you have many people that self-appointed apostles and prophets that go around saying, I am called as an apostle of the Most High, as a prophet of the Most High. And because of that, you need to give me a position here. You need to give me a title and you need to give me a platform to speak and to preach and do all these things, right? I want the title, I want the recognition, I want the authority, but I don't want any of the responsibility. I don't want, you know, even though you put in the effort, even though you've been fasting and praying concerning this thing, I want you to give me your position. Understand that leadership cannot be separated from responsibility and obedience to God. It cannot. And the idea of leadership as that I order people around and they have to serve me and listen to me, that is an immature believer's understanding of leadership. That's a kid's understanding of leadership, really, right? Because think of kids. so-and-so put me in charge, mom put me in charge, you have to listen to me because I'm the boss now, right? And I'm going to tell you what to do, right? It's a child's understanding of leadership. And Jesus, when he was on the earth, think of the kind of leadership that he embodied. He washed the feet of his disciples. And then he said, the Son did not come to the world to be served, but to serve and to even die for the world. So Jesus took on all the responsibility upon himself, even though he never sinned, he never did wrong, he still took on the responsibility. So we in the church need to get out of this mindset that, oh, we want everything for free and that's what it means to be blessed. I didn't have to do any work and now it just fell in my lap. I've been so blessed. We should change our mindset. We should instead aspire to be a blessing. And this isn't to say that God will not miraculously provide or provide blessings, but we need to get out of this mindset where we're trying to get everything for free without any work. In order to serve the Lord, we have to walk in faith. And many times, walking in faith requires that you're willing to take on the responsibility, take on the risk, put in the work to obey God. And, I've talked about this at length. You got to think of somebody like Noah. God shows up and says, you need to build this giant boat, okay? And now what did Noah have to do? Well, all of his extra money, all of his extra time is going into building this big boat. And we know that he spent at least several decades building the ark. This wasn't something that, it just fell in his lap and then suddenly, the ark was constructed and he didn't have to put any work in, okay? Obeying God means that we will have to be willing to put in effort, put in work, rearrange our lives to follow the Lord. But as we do that, as we're willing to restructure our lives where God is the priority, signs and wonders will follow you. And let us now get into this mindset that we are going to be net sowers in the kingdom of God rather than net reapers. Okay? It says in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 6, sow your seed in the morning and at evening let your hands not be idle, for you do not know which will succeed, whether this or that, or whether both will do equally well. Everywhere we go, we're being a blessing to others. Everywhere we go, we're going to be the light. We're going to sow good seeds. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, Paul says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building, right? And this is something that is so cool, guys, because as we do this, we have this mindset. One of you might plant a seed here. Another you might water a seed here. Another you might till the ground. But as a unit, we will all be in perfect harmony, furthering God's will here on earth, as it is in heaven, and establishing the kingdom of God. And this leads to the other point. We're not in competition with each other. All of us should be trying to invest in the kingdom of God so that good fruits will grow from those seeds that we have been sowing. And this is the last thing that I will close with, which is Amos chapter 9, verse 13. The days are coming, declares the Lord, where the reaper will be overtaken by the sower and the planter by the one treading grapes. New wine will drip from the mountains and flow from all the hills. And this is where God wants to take us, where you're sowing seed and you're sowing seed and you're sowing. And suddenly, before you can even finish planting those seeds, you're already seeing the harvest. But as I said before, how can you reap a harvest if you have not been planting seeds? So I want to encourage you, let's shift our mindset a little bit. Rather than focusing on being blessed, let's instead be a net sower in the kingdom of God and shift to how can I be a blessing? And as we prove to the Lord we're trustworthy in these little things, then he will entrust us with greater things. So I want to thank you so much for tuning in. Again, my name is Joshua Sasso, and you've been listening to the prophetic voice of our time. Thanks for tuning in. You've been listening to the prophetic voice of our time. We really hope you were blessed by today's episode. And if you were, we want to hear from you. You can call us at 210-695-1630, or you can email us at sogmi@outlook.com. That's sogmi@outlook.com. And we really encourage you to visit our website, sogmi.org. That is sogmi.org. That's where you can listen to previous episodes of this podcast and even support this broadcast. We're supported by listeners just like you. So if you want to support this ministry, you can go to sogmi.org and hit the donate button. You can also send a check to P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023. Again, that is P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023.